Now, on Bulldog Live, it's Second Amendment Tuesday. Joining Bulldog is attorney Penny Dean.
Right here at 1-866-823-1077. Second Amendment Tuesday is brought to you by Riley Sports Shop in Hooksett. You can find them at rileysguns.com. Bulldog Live on the Pulse.
Now, I know the Constitution, and it gives me certain rights that I will never, ever give up. At least not without a fight. So if anybody's even thinking they're gonna take my guns away, like the good old boys down in Gonzales, I got one thing to say. Come on, make my day.
Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you think you can. Come and take it, but I warn you, you'll have to pry it from my cold dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us, so you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come through us and take it.
One shot at a time.
Riley Sports Shop is located at 1575 Hooksett Road in Hooksett. You can reach them at 485-5000. Riley's been in the business serving the public for over 50 years, owned and operated by Ralph D'Amico, as well as a very large professional staff. And boy, do they know a thing or two about firearms. Attorney Penny Dean, how are you today?
Fine, how are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. Enjoying this lovely warm weather and wondering, why can't I go out and ride my bike today?
Man, isn't it cool?
It's going to be so dark by the time I get out of here. It's not even funny.
Tell me, if you got one of those light, I have a friend who has a lightweight bike who weighs like 17 pounds, and I'm like, I lift it and I go, oh my God, this is light. And she says, oh, they make them lighter.
Yes, they do. But they're also very expensive.
That's what I was just going to say. I hear how much they pay for these bikes. I'm like, how much money?
Yeah, you need insurance just for the darn bikes.
You do. I'm just like, holy crap, you can buy a good gun for this price. You know, I'm like, I was in Riley's actually Friday night with a friend, and I'm telling you that, oh my gal, they have, I don't know if you've ever seen the Mossberg 590, now makes an A1. And a 590 is a pump-action Mossberg 12-gauge. And for years and years and years, it's just the one of the best self-defense firearms for the house.
Uh-huh.
And they've made it even better by having a thicker wall, and they've got a collapsible stock on the rear. I mean, every year
Ooh.
They just get better and better and better. And it's like $650 or something. It's really a pretty darn reasonable price.
That's not bad, yeah.
And it's like 80% ready, in my opinion. Most people think it's 100% ready, but you know me, I like to make sure that it's perfect, you know, with every little thing. But it's really cool. And speaking of which, this nice warm weather, our fine fellas in Florida, now some people call it the gunshine state. I call it the sunshine state. And yeah, remember when they enacted concealed carry in 87? Everyone said, oh, there'll be blood in the streets in Florida and all these things will happen. I guess I don't see blood in the streets yet in Florida, and it's been more than 20 years. You know, but Florida. And it's probably because Marion Hammer, the former president of NRA, lives in Florida, and she's really quite active down there and does quite a good job. And they have a new law passed, and it's 790.33 under Weapons and Firearms in Chapter 790. And what I want to do, and normally people say, no, she's going to read to us. We want to read chapter by, or at least paragraph by paragraph, and talk about it, because this is really an important law. And what this law does, in addition to making it absolutely clear that the state preempts the field of firearms regulation, is they make it clear that if any official, and this includes representatives, senators, anyone who tries to infringe your right to firearms can get personally fined, and no money from the public treasury is going to pay for their fines.
Mm-hmm.
By law.
Ah!
By law. And they say you can't pull your insurance money, you can't pull this, because what you have is a few select bad apples in New Hampshire who continue to break the law. And, you know, they get a slap on the wrist, and then they go back to doing it. They just find another tricky way to do it. And I think this law would be a solution for individuals who have their rights violated. And it starts out 790.33, Field of Regulation of Firearms and Ammunition Preempted. Section 1, preemption, except as expressly provided by the state constitution or general law, the legislature hereby declares that it is occupying the whole field of regulation of firearms and ammunition, including the purchase, sale, transfer, taxation, manufacture, ownership, possession, storage, and transportation thereof, to the exclusion of all existing and future county, city, town, or municipal ordinances or any administrative regulations or rules adopted by local or state government relating thereto. Any such existing ordinance, rules, or regulations are hereby declared null and void.
Now this already happened, right?
Well, yes and no.
Okay, because my understanding is, following some headlines, particularly from South Florida, a number of cities and towns had to drop their local ordinances, like banning guns in parks and stuff, because of the preemption statute. Yes.
Oh, absolutely. I thought you meant in New Hampshire.
I'm sorry. Yeah, okay.
Yes. This absolutely has been enacted and passed in Florida. This is law. What I'm reading.
But this is what you want is for New Hampshire.
Absolutely. I want it to be clear in New Hampshire, because what happens is, we have some judges, and unfortunately I can't name names, although I'd like to, who say, well, they didn't talk about this, and you can tell they're pro-firearm control, okay? And you get the prosecutor or a city attorney that says, well, it doesn't say this, and they go, aha, we can wedge a little bit of control in here.
Mm.
And this language here, which is very similar to what you see the federal government using in many instances, that says the legislature hereby declares it is occupying the whole field of regulation. Okay, and they basically are saying it's entitled preemption. And in the law, those terms are very important, because what it means is, this law is designed to carve out everything pertaining to this field, and nothing is to be left unturned. Because, for example, in New Hampshire, you get still a lot of administrative regulations pertaining to firearms and ammunition and all sorts of things. And this law here in Florida makes it crystal clear that even a judge who's always looking to play games and do things their own way is going to have a hard time justifying it.
You know, and I think about, let me draw one distinction.
Yep.
Concord City Parks.
Yep.
You know, they still have those orange signs, no weapons allowed.
Which are illegal signs. I wish someone would come and help challenge them.
Well, I wrote a letter or sent an email, and I've made inquiries with the Concord Parks and Recreation, and they have not responded to me.
That's very rude not to respond.
Yes. And I gave them plenty of warning that I was going to be talking about it on the radio, and they chose not to respond, so I wanted to have their response in hand before I started saying anything, but oh well, too bad.
Yes, and that's incredibly important.
But someone's going to have to challenge it, unfortunately, yes.
That's
but at what expense? That's the question.
And not only that, I look at it as, that's my dollars fighting me, which is taxpayer expense. You know, because
yes,
basically if the city attorney is fighting this, he's not fighting something else. He only has so many hours in the day. You know, and the bottom line is, and now this Florida statute, Section 2, says policy and intent, Part A. It is the intent of this section to provide uniform firearm laws in the state, to declare all ordinances and regulations null and void, which have been enacted by any jurisdiction other than the state and federal, which regulate firearms, ammunition, or components thereof, to prohibit the enactment of any future ordinances or regulations authorized by this section or general law, and to require local jurisdictions to enforce state firearm laws.
Mm-hmm.
It is further the intent of this section to deter and prevent the violation of this section and the violation of rights protected under the Constitution and the laws of the state related to firearms, ammunition, or components thereof by the abuse of official authority that occurs when enactments are passed in violation of state law or under color of state or local authority.
Mm-hmm.
And this law, the reason it's so important, the only way that you can make them listen is to have prohibitions and penalties. And I'm talking real penalties and real prohibitions.
Okay.
And this law says prohibitions, penalties, any person, county, agency, municipality, district, or other entity that violates the legislature's occupation of the whole field of the regulation of firearms and ammunition, as declared in subsection 1, by enacting or causing to be enforced any local ordinance or administrative rule, that's an important term, or regulation impinging upon such exclusive occupation in the field, shall be liable as set forth herein.
Okay.
And this law makes it very, very clear that towns and municipalities and local governments are not to be exempt from the penalties here. If any county, city, town, or other local government violates this section, the court shall declare, and shall is an important word. It's a mandatory word, which means the court has no choice. They have to declare the improper ordinance, regulation, or rule invalid and issue a permanent injunction against the local government prohibiting it from enforcing such ordinance, regulation, or rule. It is no defense that enacting the ordinance, regulation, or rule that the local government was acting in good faith or upon the advice of counsel. That's
huge. Oh, that is huge, because that's what the first thing that the counselors will do is say, oh, but counsel told us this is fine to do.
Right, and we did this in good faith.
Right, yes.
And
we're trying
exactly
to protect the children.
To protect the children, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. Advice of counsel and protect the children. And so the bottom line is, that's really huge. Now, if the court determines that a violation was knowing and willful, the court shall assess a civil fine of up to $5,000 against the elected or appointed local government official or officials or administrative agency head under whose jurisdiction the violation occurred.
Ooh.
Now, that's really important, because the bottom line is that they're saying these people have to be accountable, including agency heads. Except as required by applicable law, public funds may not be used to defend. Defend is the big part. To defend or reimburse the unlawful conduct of any person found to have knowingly and willfully violated the section. And the way you get into the knowing and willful violation, which has happened in a few municipalities that tried to do that, is I send them a letter. And once you send them a letter, I fax it, email, send it certified so they can't claim they didn't get it.
Right.
Then they are on notice that what they're doing is not lawful. And so the bottom line is, in this particular thing, if we had a Florida style statute enacted here, that gets to the knowing part, because they are then now put on notice. They can't go, well, gee, we didn't know about this law, and our lawyer didn't know about this law, and gee, we just missed it, you know?
Right.
They go in there and go, gee, we didn't know. Gee, we didn't know. Yeah. Now, this is the even next part. A knowing and willful violation of any provision of this section by a person acting in an official capacity for any entity enacting or causing to be enforced a local ordinance or administrative rule or regulation prohibited under paragraph A or otherwise under color of law shall be cause for a termination of employment or contract or removal from office by the governor.
Oh, nice. Well, for people to understand where that part comes from, people have been known to be pulled out of office by the governor, particularly elections officials who have been, well, let's say have had some questionable practices regarding elections, running elections.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's exactly right. But, you know, they really track. A lot of people may not be familiar with a statute called 42 U.S.C. 1983. It's commonly referred to as 1983. And it's a statute that allows, to a limited degree, redress against government, okay? Or government actors, state and federal actors, acting in their official capacity or their personal capacity under what's called color of state law. And what that does is make them accountable. You know, for example, you know, the Brian Blackton case where we allege that a trooper took his camera, that type of thing, where right. you have redress against them. And so then we go further. This is even more important. This is Section F. If a person or organization whose membership is adversely affected by any ordinance, regulation, measure, directive, rule, enactment, order, or policy promulgated or caused to be enforced in violation of this section may file suit against any county, agency, municipality, district, or other entity in any court of the state having jurisdiction over any defendant to the suit for declaratory and injunctive relief and for actual damages as limited herein caused by the violation. A court shall award the prevailing plaintiff in any such suit reasonable attorney's fees and cost in accordance with the laws of the state, including a contingency fee multiplier as authorized by law. And what that is, and this is really important, sometimes these cases are what we call small money damages. So what they say is, look, your damages are only a dollar. If you get contingency, you get 33 cents in attorney's fees, whoopity-doo-dah. What attorney is going to go take on a case for...
Right.
Right. The postage costs more than that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so what multipliers do is it allows the court to say, look, the person only received, let's say, nominal damages by a jury or judge, but this issue is so important that no lawyer would take this case knowing they're going to get $50 or something. So what they do is they multiply that times a reasonable amount so the attorney gets paid some type of money, because if not, why are you going to take these cases? For example, federal court filing fee is $350.
Right.
You know, somebody has to write a check before the federal court will take your case.
Mm-hmm.
And so this allowing this multiplier is really, really important so that people can actually get representation and get someone to take cases and to prosecute cases that are against the law. And it says the actual damage is incurred, but not more than $100,000. Interest on the sums awarded pursuant to this subsection shall accrue at the legal rate from the date on which the suit was filed. And that's really important, because what you have is some what I call bad people on the other side sometimes.
From the date of which the suit was filed, which is very different than when a judgment was entered.
Absolutely. That's the huge thing. So what happens is the state doesn't have any incentive there to play games and drag it out and drag it out and try and bankrupt you. You know, in other words, and
yes.
Try and make it so you can't afford, because they're going to say, look, when they win, you're getting paid from the date the suit was filed. And that's huge.
Wow.
That's absolutely huge. And so this has really been well thought out. Now, this is a reasonable law, because people say, well, wait a minute, what about exemptions? This section does not prohibit zoning ordinances that encompass firearms businesses along with other businesses, except that zoning ordinances that are designed for the purpose of restricting or prohibiting the sale, purchase, transfer, or manufacture of firearms or ammunition as a method of regulating firearms or ammunition are in conflict with this subsection and are prohibited.
Mm-hmm.
And a duly organized law enforcement agency from enacting and enforcing regulations pertaining to firearms, ammunition, or firearms accessories used to or used by police officers in the course of their official duties,
mm-hmm.
except as provided in 790-251, which basically talks about allowing you to keep your firearms in motor vehicles.
Okay.
And it goes into, you know, that's like a subject for another radio show.
Sure.
Any entity subject to the prohibitions of this section from regulating or prohibiting the carrying of firearms and ammunition by an employee of the entity during the course of the employee's official duties, a court or administrative law judge from hearing and resolving any case or controversy or issuing any opinion or order on a matter within the jurisdiction of that court or judge, or the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission from regulating the use of firearms or ammunition as a method of taking wildlife and regulating the shooting ranges managed by the commission.
Mm-hmm.
So this gives law enforcement still their tools to do their job.
Yeah.
But it also really stops what I call the abuse of firearms laws. I mean, I can tell you that in this state, I've had judges just not follow the law, period.
Mm.
You know, because they said, the law can't mean that. They should be able to get this information or that information. I'm like, judge, they don't want the law says. And the judge says, well, that just doesn't seem reasonable to me. And sometimes I've had to, like, bite my tongue in half 10 times. I've had to grow at least 10 new tongues. Because I've said, judge, you know, whether or not it seems reasonable to you, the law is clear on its face. You have to enforce the law as written.
Yeah.
And, of course, sometimes the answer is if they have a black robe on, they're going to, you know, they can do as they choose. But the bottom line is that something like this would make it even clearer to what I call the recalcitrant ones, that the legislature and the general court is very clear that there's firearms preemption in the state.
Yep, exactly. Because we have it now, it's supposed to be the case, but it always has to be litigated. And
right.
Again, to what cost to the person. Well, anyway, Penny Dean, I'm just about out of time here. We do have one quick call. I'll allow 1 minute for the call, because that's all we've got. Christine from where? You're on Bulldog Live along with attorney Penny Dean. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Okay.
Question for Penny. Last year, there was a women's firearms clinic that I was not able to attend, and I was wondering if you could tell me what the
Okay, I don't know what's going on with our phones here, Christine, but we lost Penny, so unfortunately I can't help you on that one. Penny, are you there?
Hi, I'm right here.
Okay, Christine, go ahead and ask your question again.
Penny, last year there was a women's firearms clinic.
Yes.
And I was wondering if you could give me the contacts on that so I could see if they were going to do it again.
They are going to go do it again. If you go to PelhamFishandGame.org and look for the Women on Target section, there's a woman named Denise Bergeron that runs it, but in short, if you go to PelhamFishandGame.org and look for what's called WOT or Women on Target, you absolutely can find it. They'll be running, I think, 3 courses again next year.
Okay, and that's Pound Fishing Game?
Pelham, P-E-L.
Oh, Pelham, thank you very much.
I apologize, P-E-L-H-A-M.
Okay, great. Thank you very much, Penny.
You're welcome.
All right. And Penny, thank you very much for joining us. And again, thanks to Riley Sports Shop and Hooksit for making this segment possible with Attorney Penny Dean, 1575 Hooksit Road, Riley'sGuns.com. You can reach them at 485-5000. And lots of great hours open 7 days a week to help you out. Penny, talk to you next week.